Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 26, beginning with the 8th verse. This is our first lesson for today, this second Sunday in Lent. Dear friends in Christ, how do you respond to bad news? A doctor comes into the room and closes the door and takes a spot at the desk chair in front of you and sits down and says, "I'm sorry, but you have cancer. And unless you get treatment, you're going to die. But the good news is that we've caught it soon enough, and if you get the proper treatment, you are going to live and make a full recovery." How do you respond to someone giving you bad news? Do you get angry and upset at your doctor because he told you that you have cancer? Do you start yelling at him and berating him because he gave you some bad news? Of course not. That would be foolish. You may not like what he told you. No one wants to be told that they have cancer. But in the end, you're glad that he told you so that you can start the treatment and get better. But that's not how many people respond to bad news when it comes to their sins, when it comes to the bad news, the law of God's word. Take the people in Jeremiah's day, for example. But before we get to Jeremiah's day, let's back up even further and talk about Shiloh. Now, Shiloh was about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. And for hundreds of years, it was the center of the worship life for the people of Israel. During the period of the Judges, the 400 years, and before that and a little after that, Shiloh was where the people went to worship God. That's where the tabernacle was. That's the temporary tent-like structure that they took with them in the wilderness. That was set up in Shiloh. There are many parts to the tabernacle, but one room in the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. The people could not enter that place. Only the high priest could, once a year, and not without the shedding of blood. In the most holy place sat the Ark of the Covenant, a sacred object, a sacred vessel. On the cover of the Ark of the Covenant were two gold cherubs, or angels, facing back to back, and in the space in between those two angels sat the glory of the Lord. God literally dwelled on top of the Ark. So thus, with the Ark of the Covenant, God lived among His people. God was present among His people with that Ark. Once, once during the time of the prophet Samuel, the Israelites lost a battle to their enemies, their arch enemies, the Philistines. That night, the elders of Israel thought it would be a good idea to take the Ark of the Covenant with them in battle. And that's exactly what they did. They treated this sacred object like a good luck charm, degrading the very place where God graciously dwelled among His people. And as you can figure out, God didn't really appreciate this decision by the Israelites. And He allowed the Israelites to be completely defeated by the Philistines. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken from the Israelites back to the land of their enemies. The glory of the Lord left Shiloh. God's presence would never return to that place again because they degraded Him and rejected Him. Shiloh would never, once again, it would never be the worship center for the Israelites. Eventually, they would get their Ark of the Covenant back, which is a story for a different day. Years later, once David became king, the Ark of the Covenant then was moved to Jerusalem. And then with David's son Solomon building the temple, the Ark of the Covenant once again had a permanent location. Once again, a most holy place. A holy of holies was built in the temple, and there the ark stayed. There God stayed. There God dwelled among his people. The glory of the Lord filled the space in between those angels in the most holy place in the temple in Jerusalem. But the years that followed, in the 400 years or so plus between David and Solomon and Jeremiah, the people had rejected God. Again and again, they had rejected the Lord. They went after the false gods of the Canaanites, after the false gods of the people around them. They even practiced in ritual fornication in order to worship these gods. At times, they even sacrificed their own sons and daughters to these false gods. Some would obey the laws of God, but they're nothing more than empty rituals. The far majority of Israelites had already rejected the Lord. About 100 years before our text, the northern kingdom of Israel and 10 of the tribes of Israel were completely destroyed by the Assyrians. And now Judah, the southern kingdom, the area in and around Jerusalem, was under attack again. And again, by the time our text for today takes place in chapter 26 of Jeremiah, a new king, Jehoiakim, started reigning. So God sent Jeremiah to the temple to pronounce them judgment. Now this is almost the same message that he had given earlier in chapter 7 back when Josiah was king. The point is that even though there's a new regime, even though there's new rulers, you guys are still sinning. You guys still have rejected me. And thus, you will be destroyed. You see, the people of Jerusalem thought Jerusalem was untouchable. Jerusalem is too holy. Jerusalem is the place where the temple is. This is where God dwells among his people. God would never destroy Jerusalem, so therefore we're safe no matter what happens. Instead, God has Jeremiah remind the people what happened to Shiloh because they rejected the word. This is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth. The people weren't happy with this message, to say the least. And it was the religious peoples of the world, the priests and the prophets, they were the ones who led the charge against Jeremiah. They rushed at him. They took hold of him and they were ready to kill him because he had the audacity to say that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, that Jerusalem would end up like Shiloh and the place would become desolate and empty. Now, in the verses after our text, we see that there is some sort of trial of sorts. And many agree that Jeremiah spoke the words of the Lord, so Jeremiah's life was spared. But supporters of Jeremiah and another prophet who agreed and prophesied the same thing as Jeremiah, they are seized and put to death. One of them was even stoned to death, which is a reference to what Jesus makes in our gospel for today. Those who stone the prophets, he says that Jerusalem will be left desolate. Extreme reaction, for sure, we might say. These people are so angry that Jeremiah would say something about their city that they wanted to kill him. But at times, it's not far off the way to what many people think or act when they hear the gospel. Sure, we can talk about people halfway across the world who want to kill every Christian because of our faith. But there's many others. Just think about our society today and the way they act when we talk about homosexuality. and how God is going to condemn those who practice such a perversion. Or how angry people get when we talk about how any sex outside of marriage is against God's command. Or how people get upset when we talk about the biblical roles of men and women, for example. And how can we go back to something that's so old-fashioned and Stone Age? They call us names. They call us intolerant or bigoted or unloving. You see, our sinful nature doesn't like to be told no. Our sinful nature doesn't want to be told that what society has decided is right is not right. The way that you want to live your life is not a good according to God's word. There may be times when we ourselves are caught up in a sin, no matter what that sin might be. And someone comes and tells us the bad news about our sin and what our sins deserve. But we don't want to be told that we're wrong. We don't want to be told that what we're doing is contrary to God's word. And so we make excuses. We might say, we just might not want to hear it. We might say, well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I do things contrary to God's word. But we don't want to be reminded of it. We don't remind it of who we are and what we do and what we deserve. And so we say, I don't want to hear all those things. I just want to hear the good news without giving me the bad news. We might get upset. We might utter those words that every sinner loves to say, how dare you judge me? How dare you tell me that what I'm doing is contrary to God's word? We become upset, and anger might even fill our hearts because we can't find someone who will itch or scratch our itching ears. So I go back. Go back to my opening question, how do you respond to bad news? In this case, how do you respond when someone comes to you and tells you that what you're doing is a sin? Do you get upset at the message or the messenger? Or do you realize that while the message was hard to hear, it was necessary to hear, it was an important message to hear, and ultimately you are glad to hear it. Just like the doctor. The message of cancer is not what you wanted to hear, but it is important to hear, and you're glad that you were told it. You would be upset at your doctor if he withheld from you the information that you had cancer. And so then you should be upset with someone who withholds from you information about your sin, which leads to eternal damnation. Now just the fact that the Lord came to the people shows them grace. The Lord didn't have to remind the people of their sins. The Lord didn't have to warn them about what would happen if they did not repent. He didn't have to tell them that they were going to be destroyed or their city was going to be destroyed, but he warns them again and again. See, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He gave them warning after warning. Time and time again, he led them, he wanted them to repent so that he would not destroy them. He does the same for us. Time and time again, he warns us. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He warns us about what our sins are and where our sins are leading so that we could repent and turn to him. He does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to the knowledge of the truth. So he gives us warning after warning. Just the fact that people come to us and show us this is an act of love. People don't show us our sins because they hate us, but because they care for us. So how do you respond when you hear bad news? The bad news of God's law? Just like you wouldn't get upset at the doctor, but are glad. Even though you didn't want to hear it, we are glad when we hear bad news about sin because it's necessary news. Because someone cared about us so much, because someone loved us so much that they would come to us and turn us from our sinful ways. Now turn the tables around. Put yourself in Jeremiah's place for a while. Now Jeremiah knew that his message probably wasn't going to be received very well. It wasn't a message that they had received well in the past, and in the future they weren't going to receive it well either. Now Jeremiah's ministry was a hard one. To point out the sins of the people and the destruction that would come to Jerusalem. He had a good feeling it wasn't going to be received very well. And how do you respond when you are asked to point out someone's sins? To point out the sins of others. There might be situations in our life when we have to do exactly that. As Paul says to the Galatians, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself or you may also be tempted. I mean, we know the simple nature. We know how we might act if someone shows us our sin, and then we wonder how other people are going to react. You get angry and upset enough. And not everyone is as mature as you. Not everyone is as calm and has a good demeanor as you do. And you might tell yourself, well, how can I take the speck out of someone's eye when I have a plank in my own eye? How can I go to someone and show them their sins when I myself am a sinner? You might worry about it getting thrown back at you. You might worry about them yelling at you or getting upset at you. You might wonder if your relationship with that person might change. So what do? We often keep our mouth shut. We often don't say anything. We often let them continue in sin. We often just go with the flow and hope that everything will be fine or that someone else is going to take care of the situation. Jeremiah faced those same worries, those same threats, and then some. Death threats for Jeremiah for telling them the bad news. But he didn't turn the other way. He didn't soften his message. He didn't back down. He boldly and confidently shared God's word with the people in the temple, despite having a good idea how they were going to react. And that respect reminds us of Jesus in our gospel for today. Pharisees, enemies of Jesus, said, you should probably go because Herod is going to want to kill you. Jesus didn't back down. He didn't change his message. He boldly and confidently preached God's word, and he resolutely set out for Jerusalem because he knew it was in Jerusalem that he was going to die. But he was going to die there to be our Savior. See, that's another reason why Jeremiah didn't back down. Because his message wasn't just bad news. It wasn't just you will die. His message also contained good news. God's promise. His promise of forgiveness. While his message contained a warning, it also contained sweetest gospel. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has promised against you. God promised forgiveness for the people. He promised to relent. He promised that he would not treat them as their sins deserve. He would not bring upon them the destruction that really should happen to the city. When they repented, God would forgive the people. He would save them. See, that's the great thing about sharing God's word with someone else. It's not just all bad news, it's also good news. It's not just all fire and brimstone. No, the main purpose of the Bible, the main message of the Bible is salvation. It's the good news. It's forgiveness. Because of Christ. It is Christ who resolutely set out for Jerusalem so that he could die on the cross, so that he could suffer the curse and condemnation of all our sins as he took them upon himself and suffered for all the times we have failed to obey his commands, all the times we have failed to share his word or receive his word with thanks. That perfect life that Christ lived was then credited to us, so when God looks at us, he can declare us not guilty because of his Son. He died so that 3 days later he could rise from the dead and assure us of the sure hope of eternal life, a perfect life with him in heaven forever. It's because of Christ, who suffered the eternal punishment for us all, that we are saved. This message of salvation by grace through faith, apart from works, apart from anything we have ever done or can ever do, is a privilege that we get to share with others. That the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. That the Lord wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That the Lord won't treat us as our sins deserve. That he doesn't bring upon us the destruction or the desolation that we know that our sins earn. Because Christ suffered through that punishment already, so that we may have that gift of eternal life. That message is a message that we get to share with all people because Christ died for all people. And since everyone is a sinner, we get to share that message with everyone else. We aren't afraid to point out the sins of others so that we can point them out to their Savior, Jesus. And you can't point out the good news without pointing out first the bad news. Like Jesus, like Jeremiah, we're not afraid of how people might react. We aren't afraid to be the doctor who point out the bad news so that he can point out the cure. And so we point out sin so we can also point out the cure to sin. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.